Dr. McKessa Holt, Sister Minister Tracy Newman, these gospelettes, amen. The groove at the Grove. And my Emory Grove family and friends, I greet you in the name of the Lord. I also want to acknowledge my mother-in-law and uncle and cousin and my children. Praise the Lord. It's just such a grateful and humbling experience to be able to share what God has placed on my heart. Let us pray. Most sovereign God, we come before you with thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you helped us make it over. Thank you, Lord, that even though that things may not be all that we want them to be, Lord, you're still on the throne. Knowing, Lord, that the things that we can't see, you can see far past, Lord. So we trust you in faith to be the God who you claim to be. And Lord, we know that you claim to be and are a God who has all power. All power. All power. So, Lord, I ask that you would sit me down, Lord, and you step forward. Because, again, I have nothing to say. But only through the power of the Holy Spirit can your word be heard. And through the Holy Spirit will your people be edified by what you have to say. That we will be the people that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today is coming from the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 2, verses 46, 47, and 52. And the word of God reads, "Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." And 52 reads, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." Amen.
Amen.
What I would request that you do is when you get a chance to read the whole chapter in a context so that you will understand the entire scripture that was reading. But again, our focus will be on those three verses. If I had to choose a sermon topic for today, it would simply be, it's academic. It's academic. As many of you know, I'm currently enrolled in seminary as a full-time student. Not only that, but I work full-time. A full-time father and a full-time husband. Now, what some of you may say, wow, that's a lot that you have on your plate. I only share this to let you know that my current commitments are a reflection to being in obedience to the call that God has placed on my life. Now, I wish I could stand before you and say that I am handling all my commitments perfectly, well, with no problems, but I must be transparent and real in my current situation. Now, one thing I have learned in my short time of preaching is that before you receive the word, God preaches to me first. Amen. So if you do not have to say, if you don't say amen, I'm going to say amen.
Amen.
So as of today, my commitments as a father and husband are stellar, and I am sure my wife and children can testify to that.
Amen.
Moving along. Yeah. So let's briefly talk about my academic endeavors. Currently, I'm enrolled in 4 courses, one being Foundations of Preaching. So please pray for me as I learn to be a better preacher. Sacramental Theology and Worship Leading, so I can learn how to conduct communion, baptisms, and help lead worship services. I'm learning about United Methodist history, so I can learn about being a Methodist. As many of you know, I was raised in a Baptist tradition. And finally, I am taking Biblical Hebrew, part one. Amen. Biblical Hebrew, part one. Y'all got that? Amen. Amen. Now, I wish I could tell you the first three courses I chose were based on fasting and praying and seeking God, but I pretty much took them because they met the requirements towards my degree. But when I saw Hebrew, one, somebody say one.
One.
My understanding of Hebrew one is it is an introduction to Hebrew, which means this is a class supposedly that is elementary, basic, and easy. I mean, I am expecting Hebrews for dummies. I thought to myself, this would be a course to learn some Hebrew, tighten up my preaching, you know, drop a little Hebrew every once in a while in a sermon, Bible study. So I figured I would learn the alphabet, learn a few words, compare the meanings of words that were translated from Hebrew to English. And I said to myself, you know, I took this professor before and I got an A. Besides, this is a three-credit course, a three-credit A will hook up my GPA. Amen. Just being real. But to my disappointment, this class has been one of the most difficult classes I've taken in my life. The first day of class, I am thinking, what the heck did I get myself into? The teacher is moving fast, and everyone seems to be picking up this stuff except me and the people who dropped eventually from this class. We are reading and writing in Hebrew, memorizing new Hebrew vocabulary words on a weekly basis, which includes grammar and translations. Now, this would not be a big problem for me if it was not written in Hebrew. If you get a chance, Google some Hebrew words up and you'll know what I'm talking about. So with this dilemma, what did I do? I started complaining to everyone who was willing to listen. I complained how hard it was, and if I knew what I know now, I would not have taken it. So over the past couple of months, I've been walking a defeated academic mindset. I had a defeated academic mindset because of this one class. Now, while I say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I am acting like I can do all things except master this class. But through it all, God has been faithful by speaking to me in this season of study through my wife and kids, who continuously pray for me and encourage me to do the best I can and study hard. And every once in a while, my wife has to keep it real and says, pretty much suck it up, turn off the game, and go study. Okay. Oh, boy. Pastor Warner would offer his prayers by affirming my frustrations and would offer help, and I simply responded with, no, I'm going to be okay. But in my head, I'm thinking, no, I just want to complain. One day when I was feeling frustrated and complainy, y'all know what that word means? Okay, good. I felt like complaining. God had a brother in Christ send me a text while I was in class during a break to check in on me. So I responded to the text with a brief summary of my frustration with how long this class is and how it's giving me a headache. And as I waited for the response of, yeah, you're right, Hebrew sounds hard. Matter of fact, you should quit. Because people in church don't care if you know Hebrew or you don't know what it means. That's why we're preaching in English. Amen. But what I got was a response that said, well, the pain you're going through now will provide a greater understanding of God's word. We have to get to a point of understanding the full context and background of his word and not just a few verses we have committed to memory. Amen. Now, you know I want to hear that. You see, when God speaks a word that you need to hear to keep you focused on your purpose, which is the purpose of us of learning, is not necessarily for my benefit, but through my learning and understanding, we'll be able to teach God's word with more authority, wisdom, which will in turn give God the greater glory. Amen. Amen? Amen? Now, ironically, I began to think, what would I say if my kids came to me complaining every day that math class was too hard, English is difficult, and science is just a little too complicated? I would say, we do not have a defeatist attitude in the Newman household. You do what you need to do, whether you need to study longer, ask the teacher for help, or get a tutor to learn to help you learn the material, as there is an expectation of excellence regarding academics and to always try your best at all times. Now, I know 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But nowhere does it say that studying is supposed to be easy. Sometimes it's good for things to be hard so that we can draw just a little bit closer to God. Amen. Oftentimes when things come too easy for us, we forget and depend less on God in our endeavors. The scripture that was read is one I have heard preached and taught on several occasions, and 9 times out of 10, the preacher or teacher will focus on verse 49, which is Jesus' response to his mother, Mary, after she found him in the temple and confronted him about not being where she thought he was supposed to be, as she and Joseph were frantically searching for him. But Jesus responds with, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" Or in some translations, "I had to be about my father's business." Now, Jesus' response is him acknowledging that even at the young age of 12, he knew his purpose was about to be about the work of his father. Now, I understand that. But the most glaring issue for me I had with the scripture is, in essence, Jesus is about to get it. Now, y'all missed that. You say that to your mom, they looking for you, and you say that, they, all right. y'all catch that later. I always ask myself, why on earth would Jesus need to study? John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then if you go down to verse 14, and it says, "And the Word," referring to Jesus, "became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as only to the Father, Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." John 8:58 says, "Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Revelation 1:17 says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." Revelation 22:13 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." And 1 Colossians 16 says, "For by him," and this is talking about Jesus, "all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." So why would Jesus, the author and the finisher of the word, need to study the very word he created? It's like you're writing your own autobiography and then learning about the words you just wrote. Jesus studied and learned his very own word because, as noted in verse 49, he was simply doing the will of the Father. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So why did he do it? Hebrews 2:17 says, "It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested." The theological word for Jesus becoming a man incarnate is called the hypostatic union, as Jesus was fully God and fully man. That's why sometimes he's called Jesus the Son of God as well as Jesus the Son of Man. We teach in a day. So as a man, and so as Jesus was a man in all ways, so that he could be our advocate in every way. Whatever you're going through, Jesus can relate to it, which also includes the necessity to learn. How many Christians do we have in the house today? Amen. All right, we got like two. Ariel. All right, y'all, I'm going to take y'all amen. But for those who may not, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to ask you, are you sure? If you identify yourself as a Christian, you are saying, I am a follower of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, in order to be a follower, you have to be a learner. It is absolutely essential that we are students of the Word of God because we are supposed to be light in a dark world and salt of the earth, where our family members, friends, and neighbors are searching and hoping for a meaning to the life that we live. So we must be ready to provide an answer to everyone who asks them, giving them a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So we need to take the time to study and learn about Jesus, and the only way we will be able to do that is by opening up his word and studying it. Amen. So what does studying look like? Reading the word, meditating on it, listening, and asking questions. When studying, I recommend you pray first before you conduct your personal study to allow the Holy Spirit to give you understanding to the meaning and application of the scriptures. Then, attend Sunday school. Amen. Amen. Sunday school happens right before church, if you didn't know. Okay, come a little early. There are people having Sunday school. What I also offer you is attend Bible studies. And of course, attend church services each and every week, so that we will learn not only on our own, but as a community of faith each week with one another. If Jesus stood here before you today as your biblical teacher, and he was to look at the audience and ask over the past week regarding the days that you have studied his word, would there be perfect attendance, an assortment of absences, or would your name not even be on the list? Now, if we go back to the text and research the education of a young Jewish boy around the age of 12, Jesus would have been at the stage of educational development called Beit Talmid, which means the house of learning. This is the stage of learning where education was focused on memorization of various parts of the Hebrew Bible. And for us who call ourselves Christians, that's the Old Testament. In essence, learning his own history. The other portion of learning was focused on the art of debate and critical thinking done in the form of oral questioning and answering. This type of learning gave the teacher insight whether the student understood the information that they actually memorized and learned that and things that they've learned from beginning from as early as 3 to 5 years old. So the text says Jesus was in the temple and he listened. Somebody say listen. So many of us know people who just don't know how to listen. Before you can get out what you're about to say, what they say? I know. I know. This is how you fix it. I know. When you're on 270, you have to. I know. When you are making macaroni and cheese, first you have to. I know. My kids often ask me to put them in my sermon. Paying attention? Did you clean your room? I know. That's why, as a father, when they say, Daddy, can I have? I know. When we are willing to listen, in essence, what we're doing is we are humbling ourselves to recognize that there is someone with more knowledge that has something to say that may be a benefit to us in order to learn. We must be willing to listen. The word of God says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. The text then says, and Jesus asked, somebody say ask. Questions. Now the purpose of asking questions is to get information from someone who knows the answer. But how many of us know people, don't look at the person next to you, who don't like to ask or know how to ask questions? Now, Thanksgiving is coming up, and there is someone who is about to mess up dinner because they do not want to ask, how long to cook the turkey, which means you can look forward to either some dry or raw turkey. If you're that person, ask. I just blessed somebody right there. Y'all didn't know that. Somebody has gotten lost because they did not want to ask for directions. Somebody is stressed out at work or school because they refuse to ask for help. Somebody is missing out on a job opportunity because they do not want to ask somebody for a job. Someone is going through something, some potentially unnecessary pain or sickness because they do not want to ask the doctor about the symptoms that they're experiencing. And somebody, possibly here, is missing out on finding their boo because they do not want to ask for that person's phone number. Bless somebody else too. Let's say y'all can dab me up at the end. The word of God says, ask and you shall receive. To ask is to humble yourself by letting another person know that there is something that you do not know, and as a result, you are seeking for either an answer or direction from them. You see, when we listen and ask questions, now we are at the point of beginning to learn and obtain knowledge. Jesus learned as a human being to be an example to us that he could demonstrate how to obtain knowledge, and with knowledge, he used it to become wise. Jesus was the ultimate example of how we should live. And as a result, throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we learned that through Jesus' ministry, people were constantly and always asking him how to do something, whether it was how to pray, how to cast out demons, how to heal somebody, or how to explain something. So if Jesus provided us with the example that it was necessary to study and learn in order to become wise, why can't we do the same? Why can't we subject ourselves to the authority of the ones God has placed in our path in order to teach us, whether it's a supervisor, teacher, or even our pastor? Many of us want to learn but not be subject to anybody. We want to make a lot of money, have power and authority, but we have yet to learn how to handle that responsibly. As a result, God will put us in a training position where before we get an assistant, God will start us out on how to get coffee and make, in essence, make copies. Sometimes before God allows us to make six figures, he teaches us how to tithe on four when we have four or five figures to keep us faithful. Before we get that corner office on the top floor, a position with full benefits, 6 weeks vacation, and some business cards, God will delay our promotion until we learn to check our egos, learn how to become a team player, and how to treat people, and how to work hard. In essence, God is training us to be an example of what a true Christian looks like, whether we are in school, the workplace, or even retired. If you study your word, you will learn that when God eventually promotes you, he will often put you in a place where you do not even feel qualified because you know that you have reached that wisdom where you are even wise enough to know that you did not even put yourself in a position by the technical skills that you have accumulated or the academic merits that you think you got, but it was all through God's divine power, sovereignty, and mercy. Somebody say amen. We encourage our young people to be good students and to good grades. But more importantly, we want to encourage them and to train them to be godly people. The text then says that Jesus was obedient to his parents. Obedient to his parents. Turn me up. Obedient to his parents. Parents, you're welcome. And Jesus goes home with them. All right, you can turn me back down. And Jesus goes home with them to Nazareth. While there, it says he grows in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and men. So, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You see, as one gets mature, it is important that over time you use the knowledge you have obtained to become wise. In 1 Kings 3, God appears to King David's son Solomon in a dream and asks, "What shall I give you?" A blank check. And Solomon responds to God by saying, basically, "You have put me in a position to be king. I am not smart enough to handle this awesome job as a king, so please give me wisdom so that I may properly govern over your people. And as a result, God was so pleased that Solomon asked for wisdom rather than riches or a long life. God not only gave him wisdom, he also gave Solomon riches and honor like no other. And he, in essence, said, if you would just live in accordance to my will, you can expect a long life. If we are willing to be like Solomon, in James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, when it comes to academics and scholarship, we as the family of God must be encouragers to promote excellence in learning, whether young or old. There is a saying that knowledge is power. And as a result, many of us benefit from a multitude of blessings because we are willing to seek out knowledge. But on the converse, many of us have missed out on blessings because we have sought, we have not sought the knowledge that God has made available to us. Amen. We're teaching today. Now, while it's important to learn by obtaining knowledge, it is also important that we strive to be excellent in our studies. God has fearfully and wonderfully made each one of us with a mind that is able to think, reason, and process. You see, you have some people who are very intelligent, with photographic memories, are talented at a particular skill, but have no good sense or God sense. Over the years, I have learned that common sense is not that common. That's going to hit somebody later. In the formal learning process, there are criteria measurements that helps one to identify the level of success in mastering the educational concept that is being taught. So, for example, if you achieve an academic mark of excellence in a subject, you get an A. If you did very good, you get a B. If you achieved a satisfactory mark, you get a C. Now, over a period of time, if you accumulated passing grades in various subjects, you can expect to graduate to the next level of higher learning. Now, during that time for graduation, there are select students who are recognized for various stages of academic achievement during their time of learning. They graduate with a special honor. The cream of the crop graduate summa cum laude, which is defined as the highest praise and highest honor. They receive the highest grades with a GPA of 4.0 or higher. The next level of those who graduate are magna cum laude, or cum laude, however y'all do it, which is defined with great honor and praise. These are students with the second best grades with a GPA of 3.8 to 3.9. Then you have those who graduate cum laude, which is defined with praise. These students are graduated with a high GPA between 3.5 and 3.7. And then there are those who were just like me, who were just glad to graduate. Thank you, Lordy. Now, if over that period of time of learning, no matter what honor was given to you, whether it was summa, magna, or cum, if you are wise, you know ultimately all the honor belongs to God and God alone. So whether you have a degree, no degree, a GED, high school diploma, associate's degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree, or doctorate, it was God, and be humble and realize whatever we have that is good comes from God, from above, because it was God and God alone who kept you in your right mind. Matter of fact, it was God who gave you the mind to think, reason, analyze, and understand. To this day, when I start to look around and I think things over, all of my good days outweigh my bad days, so I won't complain. You see that God has been so good to me, more than this old world could ever be. So I can't help but to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Amen.
praise God as we stand to our feet.
Again, today was not about shouting, not about throwing over pews. Today was about learning. Learning that there's a God in heaven who loves each and every one of us. Learning about there's a God in heaven who came down from heaven, put on flesh, and dwelled among us. Lived 33 perfect years. Was wrongly accused. Suffered, bled, and died, not just for me, but you, you, and you. So the question today I have is, did you learn anything today?
Amen. Yes. Thank you.
If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask that you come down this aisle. Give me your hand and give God your heart. Now, I know somebody who may not be saved here today may say, I'm okay. But there are people who thought they were okay and didn't wake up this morning. There's no guarantee that we will make it to the end of the day. So while the blood is running warm in your veins, take a sure thing. I don't know if the Eagles are going to win. I don't know if the Cowboys are going to win. But one thing I do know is that Jesus saves. So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask that you come now. Second call. There's somebody here looking for a church home. Stick their head in, saw the grove and said, wow, I like what they're doing here. I feel like I'm at home, but I don't know. I'm not sure. God is speaking to you right now saying, this is your home. This is now your family. I'm going to ask you to come. Last call. Somebody, and we hear it almost every other week, say, I grew up around here. This is my church. But we have not seen you in years. What we're going to ask is that you come get reacquainted. Last time somebody said it's always home coming here. You can always come back home. I'm going to ask you to come. We'll wait. I'm going to ask all the saints to pray on behalf of those family members that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Pray for those neighbors and those co-workers that do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Intercede for your family at this time. When we intercede on the behalf of our family and friends, God is able to move their hearts and make changes. We have seen people show up and say, I don't know why I came here today, but something told me I needed to be here. This is a life and death situation, nothing to be playing with. I see nobody moving, so I'm going to assume that we're all family, all saved, and all at home. Amen. For those who desire prayer, the altar is open.
Yeah.
Oh, sovereign God, we come before you with thanksgiving and a heart to receive the teaching that you gave us today. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that just come and spoke to each one of us, heart to heart and breast to breast. Lord, we thank you for sharing your word to us, Lord, letting us know that as people who are called followers of Jesus Christ, it is our responsibility to share your word, to study your word, so that we can be able to share your word with others. Lord, we thank you for allowing us that, Lord, as we learn, there'll be a difference in our lives. People will see that there is something a little bit different of how we used to be. And it's because that we spent some time with you and we allowed you to change and work on some things.